9. Ken Laban is with us for his weekly look at the world of sport, and only Ken does what Ken does, which is looking at it through a cultural lens at times. Tōkana, tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
Hey, mate.
Nice to be with you, brother.
Thanks very much for joining us, Ken. Where are you today? Back in Wellington?
Back in Wellington today.
Kia ora. The Hurricane supporters would be pretty happy with the way the season's tracking?
Yes, they would be.
Is that not you?
I didn't tip them at the beginning of the season to be where they are. So it just goes to show being around the sport a long time doesn't make you smart. And they are, what are they now, 6 from 6, 7 from 7, at the top end of the competition. And I thought that the Chiefs and the Blues would be the teams that would be the pace setters in this year's Super Rugby, and that has proven to be the case, of course, as well. But just sitting atop of both of them are the Hurricanes. So I don't have any doubt that this year's winner is going to come from one of those three teams. And it was a quality contest on the weekend. Good to see a good crowd in there. So I think the quality of Super Rugby this year has actually been very good. My only doubt has been around the crowds and around the support. The NRL by comparison, fabulous games every round, fabulous crowds, great interest. And that's something that we all hope in time that Super Rugby will be able to emulate. You know, Super Rugby was there 30 years ago, but that seems to have dropped off in recent times.
You've been a strong supporter of Peter Vlandis. You've got to be a bit innovative here. You know, at a time when people's disposable income, and there are many different options for the way that they can spend their time, it's got to be something exciting to get them to buy tickets and to turn up to the games. I was at Mount Smart over the weekend, of course, and, you know, it was, it was quiet first half. We'll get to that in a moment. But I feel for the players in our rugby code, because while they're doing their best on the field, it's the back office stuff that's hitting the headlines, really. And the feeling is that the code is in a confused state at the moment, not quite sure which way to move forward. What are you reading into the headlines that we're seeing about dysfunctional governance and the like, Ken?
Well, you began that summation, Dale, with a reference to Peter Vlandis. So Peter Vlandis sits in my lifetime in the top echelon of outstanding sports administrators that I have seen or that I have borne witness to. No matter what issue that you look at, when the game was at its lowest ebb, when there was no game and the threat of no game during COVID, of all the professional sports in the world, it was one person who found a way to preserve as much as possible the integrity of the competition, which included, you know, relocating the entire team, the entire competition to Queensland, convincing the Warriors to relocate lock, stock and barrel over the course of an entire season to Queensland. If you look at the example of the recent Las Vegas exercise, the hype, the lead-up, the crowd and the spectacle of the event, absolute world-class. You look at the community event or the commitment to grassroots community with Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell flown up in a private jet to visit, in effect, almost third world communities on the top of isolated parts of Australia. Publicity that these kinds of decisions and leadership attracts, the getting it right in the community aspect of it, the feel good for the community, doing the right thing by the community. And of course, the community is the fan. And if the community is in support of what the code is doing, then the fan will show up on the weekend and show their support. and the work that they have done in the social media space, the drama, the controversy, the compelling storylines, which is a daily thing for the NRL, is the area, I think, where Super Rugby, by comparison, have not been able to retain the same level of energy, momentum, and pace. And I mean that with the greatest respect. It's just not enough now to put the draw out and hope that people turn up. You have to be active in the social media space. You have to be a leader in the community. You have to find innovative and creative ways to attract. You know, I've talked to you about it before. When have we ever seen a Tamatatini influence or impact at any of our Super Rugby game, which is older than rugby league, and established as the national game, and per head has had more Māori participation in rugby than any other sport. But where have we seen the connection, any form of connection, between iwi, hapu, marae, whakapapa connections, te matatini, the rise of te matatini? Where have we seen that alongside? I guarantee that if there was an opportunity for rugby league to have done something, if there was a sport who had the opportunity to do something in that space, it would make no surprise to me if rugby league, even somebody like Peter Vallandi, he's not even Māori, doesn't even live in New Zealand, would find a way to do that connection. But I think they understand the cultural aspect, the heritage jersey, the work and influence that they have done with the establishment of the Indigenous and the All Star game, and the fact that all the best players play. And at the end of the day, it is the equivalent of the Māori All Blacks playing the All Blacks. That's exactly what the Indigenous and All Black, the Indigenous and All Star game is. It's a collection of the very best players on the park playing each other with a cultural bent. Well, of course, and we've seen on the back of that rise, we've seen Toa Samoa and Tonga. Tonga were touring England last year. My understanding is that the NRL are trying to convince Toa Samoa to tour England this year. As well, they're going to play each other in Sydney, and we've seen the high-profile players make themselves available to Samoa and Tonga ahead of the Kiwis and the Kangaroos. It's made no difference to the Kiwis or the Kangaroos, but it's been tremendous for the Pacific by comparison. If you tried to do that in rugby union, there's no way that they would let somebody like Adi Savi or Rico Ioane run out for Samoa at the World Cup. But wouldn't that be great for the game? Might not be good for the All Blacks, but it will certainly be great for the game.
Tēnā koe. What about our very prominent Wahine rugby player, Ruhei Dumont, is saying that we need to combine with the Australian competition? I mean, it's not a dumb idea, is it?
No, well, they need to play more games. So there's four Super Rugby teams, they play each other twice. So they have six games in the regular season, and if you don't make the final, your game's over. The top two play in the final, so they have seven games. So that's hardly a season. That's a holiday program, isn't it? Seven weeks of competition, and when you chuck in at least 12 weeks of preparation, you know, that's 19 weeks. You add the seven games if you're playing a final, that's 26 weeks. If it's half a year for seven games, so if you were to add the Fiji and Rua team on Waka Pacifica team plus the Australian franchise teams that they played two rounds, then they would have something that could rival the NRLW. My understanding is the money to play in Super Rugby Old Picky is half the money of the in the NRLW, half the crowd and half the interest. So if they want to improve and increase and grow that Super Rugby space, then they need to listen to leaders like Ruhei Dumont and take on board what they say. Be a question now whether the administrators can respond to that, or they're just doing it to tick a box.
Thanks, Ken. The Warriors, I was watching, and of course at 16-0, I thought, well, this ain't our day. That was the poorest first half that we've seen from them this year. But they did show some grit, and to create an unlikely scenario at the back end to see them go into extra time albeit without being able to conclusively determine a winner. It was a gutsy effort, but obviously some concerns about the poor start.
Yes, it would be, but you know, we have to keep reminding ourselves they're playing Manly. Manly have got Croker at dummy half. They've got Cherry Evans and Luke Brooks in the halves, and they've got Trbojevic at fullback. That is an absolute world-class spine, and it is a world-class team, and Manly are a team capable of winning the competition. And when they're led by 16 points to nil, that's a reminder of how good they could be on the day and how tough the NRL competition is. The reality is for the Warriors, they're not going to win it. They're not going to win every game. Nobody wins every game in the NRL. And I thought they showed tremendous character and resilience to come back from such a big deficit. And they came away with 1 point to show for their endeavour, which is better than 9 points. For it. And again, that, you know, two draws on the weekend, two lots of extra time, and it was still a draw. So very interesting times, wasn't it?
An amazing weekend with that draw. I was watching one last night too. It went to the last second of extra time as well. I can't recall what game I was watching actually, but it. I thought, was that the second one that you're talking about, or was there another?
No, it wasn't. No, there was only the one draw with no result, because was it the halfback from the Raiders, wasn't it? The last second period.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, had he not have kicked that, that would have been two draws for two results.
That's right, and that's what I was sort of anticipating. But then he got a clear passage to slot the field goal, and you look, often people think, "Gee, it's right in front of the post. Why can't you get it?" But put on all the pressure. I mean, even Sean missed one that he would normally get. But hey, we fought and we got a point. So, you know, it was a gutsy effort. Great catching up with you, Kenny. Thanks very much.
Kia ora.
Thanks very much. Tēnā koe. Ken Laban joins us on Monday mornings.